I'm Christy Grainer, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast. I'm here today with Heidi and Steve Dick. Hello, you guys.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. And I met with Heidi a few weeks ago, and I thought I was meeting with her about coaching, and I did. We did talk about that eventually. But as we sat down, she kind of casually mentioned, did I tell you about the time when I had a brain bleed? And I'm like, wait a minute, the time when you had a brain bleed. And so God miraculously worked in your life. And after I heard the testimony, I just thought, we want to get this story out on the airwaves so you can listen to what God did miraculously in their lives. So thank you guys for being here.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, and we would never think that you ever had anything bad happen in your brain. You know, everything is working just 100%, which is the first big miracle, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys have been married for how many years?
So we were married in 81, so that means this December it will be 42 years.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And you met in church, so we know that you've been believers for quite a while.
Right.
You knew God is good. But this happened 2 years ago. So in April of 2021.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you tell me what was going on? You know, you woke up in one morning.
Yeah. So one morning, April 23rd, I woke up at about 5 a.m. or so with a horrendous headache, like the world's worst headache I could ever expect. And it was kind of like it just was instant. And I immediately thought, uh-oh, I think I have a ruptured brain aneurysm.
So you're thinking this while your headache's happening.
Immediately, while I'm waking up, I'm thinking this is serious. And my grandfather on my dad's side he actually died of a ruptured brain aneurysm. And I never met him. So this happened like 2 weeks prior to my being born. And so, but I always remember that story, like, oh, grandpa had the world's worst headache, and then he died. And so for some reason, which I think is a miraculous thing, the Lord just laid that in my heart that I had a ruptured brain aneurysm and I needed to take action.
And that can't be typical, that someone wakes up.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and like diagnoses yourself. This is what's going on with me.
I agree, at least not for me. I don't usually self-diagnose very well.
So then what did you do?
So I woke up Steve. And I said, I think I have a ruptured brain aneurysm, and we need to call the paramedics right away and make sure that they know I think I have a ruptured brain aneurysm and that my grandfather died of it. Because I didn't know how much time I had before I wouldn't be coherent
or
what would happen. And so,
and how amazing that you could think that through. I mean, just that you thought that through. And what's that like to wake up at 5-something?
And I was sort of getting the cobwebs out of my brain. And as she's waking me up at 5 a.m. going, what's going on? And so it was pretty amazing. And she's told me the story too. So when she said it, I knew that could well be the case. So then I right away just dialed 911 and started going.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Well, I heard him tell them she thinks she has a ruptured brain aneurysm. Her grandpa died of it. So then I was glad about that. I said, make sure the paramedics know. And they came. Meanwhile, I'm getting worse and worse. I mean, it's such pain, making me nauseous, vomit. Yeah, it was just not a good thing. And I remember kind of going internal, so I couldn't really see what was going on very easily. But the paramedics were there, and I explained this to them. And
you explained this to them?
Yes.
So you're still coherent enough to talk to the paramedics and tell them?
Yeah. I just knew that was my job. Just make sure they know your grandfather died of a ruptured brain aneurysm so that the doctors would take him serious. You know, if I just said, I think I have a ruptured brain aneurysm, they probably, you know, would go, yeah, right, lady.
Right, but that you're coherent enough while this is happening.
It was deteriorating, though. She was gradually, her sentences were getting shorter.
Okay.
You could tell she was in more and more pain. Mm-hmm. So it was, she sort of had to get it out quickly, and she did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is that like on your end of things, watching this happen?
Well, it's very strange. I mean, it's really weird. I mean, and she was obviously in immense pain. I will say the paramedics responded very quickly. They were there within 4 or 5 minutes after I called them. And they knew exactly what to do. They were getting her. They were asking about things and getting it situated. But it was really scary to watch her. It was interesting, though. I just had a sense that God was already involved then. I mean, if that's a weird thing, right?
So, but what, I just felt like, well, did you like have peace, or
I did. I felt like I'd already been praying for her. I just had a feeling that He was going to take care of her in this situation. So I wasn't worried that she was going to have a terrible outcome. And I didn't look on the internet for what the normal outcomes of this are, which they're not good. But I just had this sense of what's the next thing to do and sort of got into that state right away. Right?
Okay. So they got you to the hospital. And you knew what, didn't you tell them what hospital you wanted to go to?
Yeah, the paramedics did say, which hospital do you want to go to? And I said, Abbott Northwestern, it's the best. I don't know why, I just kept repeating it.
Hey.
So, yeah. Well, I had a successful procedure there once that was important too. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, so anyway. Yeah.
So then you're at the hospital. What happened there?
So now I'm out of it. So we'll have to turn this over to Steve here.
Right, so then we're at the hospital and I'm in the emergency room, wait room. She's back in there for, and I feel like, I don't exactly know, but I feel like it might have been an hour that I was sort of out there. They keep coming up and go, yeah, you'll get to come back in a little while. She's on medication now. They're taking care of her, you know. And so they were just sort of giving me a really big picture, like, we don't want the husband to be worried answers, I think, more than anything. And I'm texting. Go ahead.
And you guys are part of a faith community. So is it you were texting?
I was just about to say. So I had a whole bunch of text threads going, asking people for prayer. Okay. Different groups within our church.
Which is so important.
It was great. It really felt like I could feel those prayers from the people as they were reacting to the text quickly. Okay. So I feel like it was about an hour. And then they finally said, okay, you can go back and see her. And when I got there, you were actually awake. Maybe you don't remember that, but you were on medication and sort of not as coherent as when she was directing the paramedics in our bedroom. Yeah. So anyway, there was a few little detailed things that happened there about how she was feeling and what she was going through. But then they started telling me right away, okay, so we're going to do the surgery now. We're gonna put a block in to fix that place in her brain that's got the bleeding coming. And they told me a whole bunch of details. There's one way that's an old way, one way that's a new way. It's going to take 2 hours to get the surgery done. Here's the six things that could go wrong. And I said, yeah, but you're good at them. I'm talking to the guy who's in charge of it, obviously. And he's like, yeah. I said, yeah, but you're good at it, right? He goes, yeah, I'm pretty good at it, but it's not necessarily always turns out right, you know? I said, okay, well. And then after I signed the stuff, they sort of turned their back on me and started going out the door because I've done what they needed from me, right? And I said, oh, you know, before you guys leave, if you don't mind, I'd just like to pray. Our faith's important to us. I'd like to pray for this success for this procedure. And I promise it'll be quick, so we'll do it quickly. I said, oh, and they all stopped and they faced me, which I thought was interesting. And I prayed, you know, a fairly straightforward prayer that was simply like, you know, praying, thanking God for the doctors and the nurses, for the gifts He's given them, the work that they're going to do, asking Him to bless them and to heal Heidi through them. Amen. Right? Something like that. It was pretty straightforward. And they're kind of watching me, and it was really quiet in the room. They were really taking it in. Nobody left. So I was quite impressed by that. And they just, the doctor, when I got done, he looked at me and I said, amen. And the doctor said, amen. And then they turned and they went, right?
That's so good. I love that you're a man of prayer, though. And you knew prayer's at the base of everything. I mean, you gotta get this out. And
well, I wanted to make sure that God was, you know, honored in the whole process. Because I did have this sense He was going to heal her. But I still wanted to invite Him in. And I don't know, I just felt like the right thing to
That's
do.
That's so good.
Yeah. Anyway, so then I don't know how we want to take this next part. So then I'm in the waiting room, and it was supposed to be a 2 hour surgery. He called me after about 45 minutes on my cell phone, the same doctor that had said amen. And he said, well, Steve, it's done. We had a really successful surgery. And I said, oh, good. And he goes, yep, we were able to use the new mesh thing that we like to to use that's way better, that has 100% effectiveness, and those five things, boom, 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 they all went right.
Awesome.
They were all great. So,
that's a huge answer to prayer
right
there.
Yeah, totally. So this is the other interesting part is he goes, so that's all happened. So you can see her in the recovery room pretty soon. Thanks for praying.
Very cool.
And I'm like, okay. That felt like something that God sort of just sort of said hi to me with, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's okay that you pray. It's good that you prayed, and the doctor's even saying it.
Yeah.
Right? So that was pretty cool.
So then she
goes
into her room.
Yep. So this is this is Thursday morning. By afternoon, by the time it was done. She's in her room. And if I sort of fast forward Thursday through Saturday morning, I was there. She was sleeping, awake, not very much. 15-minute spurts, and then she'd go back to sleep. And I sort of assumed that was kind of normal. But like on Friday afternoon, I sort of said, does it bother you guys that she's not like really waking up very much? And they said, well, she's been through a lot, blah, blah, blah. You know, don't worry, husband kind of answers, right?
Then, okay. So this is 2 days
this
later.
This is Friday now.
Oh, this is
after
Friday.
After we were there Thursday.
The day after. Okay.
Yeah, so they told me that. I said, okay. So then Saturday morning, same thing. She hadn't woken up a lot, and I had asked a different person. And they said, no, it's okay. She's recovering. And so, but then about half an hour later, another guy came in, and he looked different. He looked like a surgeon. And I said to him, does it bother you guys that she's not waking up? Well, she's been through a lot, but yeah, I think she should be waking up more. And I said, oh, what do you mean? Well, and then he told me the story about where the blood was and where it wasn't supposed to be. And he goes, in fact, maybe I'll take you out and show you in another room where the pictures are that can show that detail to you. I said, okay. So we walk out of the room, and I don't know, we walked a couple hundred feet away, maybe to another hall where there was a different computer that looked to me like the same computer that was in her room. And looking back, I'm pretty sure it was. But he showed it to me, and he said, okay, so we got to get the blood to move there. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? And he goes, well, we're going to drill into her skull and move the blood there so that we block it and get it in the right place so it doesn't go into the wrong place and cause problems for her. I said, oh, okay. And when are you going to do that? He goes, well, if you agree, we're going to do it in her room right now.
I
said, oh, okay.
So basically, they need to drain that blood out.
That's basically, I think that's right. So he's showing, and again, he starts telling me that here's the five or six things that can go wrong. And I said the same thing. I said, yeah, but you're really good at this. And he said, and he was even a little more positive. He said, yeah, I am really good at this. And we do this a lot. But the probability of some problem happening isn't zero, Steve. And I said, okay. But let's see. If it was your wife, what would you do? And he said, I'd get the blood out of there. I said, okay. I signed it.
Yeah, but you forgot to ask him if he liked his wife.
That's what he asked me later. Did you ask him if he liked his wife, right? Which I didn't, but he seemed like that was an inappropriate question. But I understand your point. So then, anyway, as soon as I got done signing the papers and we started turning to walk back to the room, I immediately texted a couple of our prayer partners, our pastor and our pastor of prayer, really close friends as well, and said, "Hey, they're saying they got to drill Heidi's head. Will you please pray that this doesn't have to happen?" And I prayed that, "Look, God, please." Find a healer some other way. Don't use this. Mm. This is my request, right?
Right.
And so now this 150-foot walk back, Heidi's been up like for a day and a half. She's been awake for maybe 3 hours, 2 hours. I don't know. And I get back, and now she's sitting up in the bed talking to the nurse as coherent as you can imagine.
Like and that
nothing,
hadn't been.
Like nothing happened, and that had not been like that at all. And they had been prepping her for the surgery, by the way, while they were out. That's why they wanted me out of the room.
Oh.
They were prepping her for the surgery while I was gone, right?
Well, they were going to.
But they actually didn't
because I sat up and was talking to them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So then we walk back in the room and the doctor says, well, hi, Heidi. How are you feeling? And she says, well, pretty good. I'm a little tired. And he says, oh, and then they do the thing of, you know, what town is it? What day is it? What hospital are you? And she had all the questions, right? And he looked at her and he looked at me and he goes, you know, and the other doctor in the room, said, you know, I don't think we're going to do this surgery now. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, you know. And I said, well, what about, you just showed me those pictures. I mean, I'm glad, but. And he goes, yeah, but I trust my visual inspection, my clinical diagnosis, I think he called it, more than those pictures. And we'll track her, but she doesn't look like the person that I was looking at in those pictures. So God, in that short amount of time, God totally changed where Heidi was, did some measure of healing to get her to that point, and then eventually her healing was straight up from there.
That's right. So cool. And here you sit before us.
Here I am. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
It's amazing.
And how foundational prayer was to everything. You guys knew, and that's why our faith is so important, because you knew what to do right away. You didn't have to think about it. It was just in you. You know to go to the Lord. You know to trust the Lord that he's going to do something good, and you know how to follow the peace, because, you know, when the peace is on something, the Lord sends his peace.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it just seemed like the obvious steps, right?
Yeah.
But to your point, it's something that you
Well, so we're going to have you pray for our listeners that when they come into crisis in their life or difficult times, that they would know to turn to the Lord, and they'd have the ability to just ask the Lord to be with them and direct them. So would you pray for people listening?
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
So God, I just thank you again for the amazing healing you did in Heidi's life, the miracles that you brought of healing and of comfort to me and our family during this time. And I pray that for anyone listening that would need that or that is in that situation, Father, that you would help them to trust you for their healing, that they would reach to you for your love, because we know that your love is perfect and that it's unending and unconditional. And we thank you so much for that. And we love you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.